And we are officially on the Mike Danvers Memorial On-Air Tribute. Superstation K106, I'm Corey Tackman, and we have just a ton of special guests joining us in the studio this morning for this. In the other room, I see Brad Williams, I see Dan Scogan, I see Dan Lawson, I see Kyle Gilsine, and I see Sam Huber. First of all, gentlemen, thank you for making it up here today for what I think is going to be a really, really fun day.
Well, we appreciate it. Appreciate the gesture on behalf of Hubbard Radio, obviously, here in Wadena. And, Corey, you've, like we were talking the other day, you're 10 years into this yourself now already as well, and a lot of work that you've done as well. So a tremendous honor to be up here, especially with this group of folks in this room right now. The golden age of radio, as they say, and it's just such a shock and a sad, just tragic news, you know, to learn of this. Definitely an opportunity for some memories and some storytelling and that kind of thing here this morning.
Yeah, Dan, I'm already getting weepy.
It started already, huh? Well, so you guys know, and so folks know, here's kind of the plan of action. We obviously are all going to take our turns and share some memories and tell some stories. We also, at one point in this hour, would like to take some phone calls from listeners, because we know how important Mike was to the listening area and vice versa, what the listeners meant to Mike. So we're going to really do our best to make this tribute as thorough as we possibly can. And we also, throughout the hour, have some pre-recorded things that we're able to work out with some longtime clients of the morning show. And they share some memories. We'll hear some highlights. And as a matter of fact, you guys, I think that's going to be a really good way for us to start this entire thing. Mm-hmm. We'll share our very first highlight and memory of Mike right now.
Superstation K106, now that I got your head bobbing to the brand new Luke Bryan move, it's rockin' Randy Bachman's birthday today, yeah? He's the Bachman in Bachman Turner Overdrive, and he's 73, and we're taking care of business with Mike and Corey. Taking care of business, and I'll tell you what, if you got a really tough job today, maybe it's time-consuming, just give it to somebody who's lazy. Because, you know, they'll always find an easier way to do it. 728 Superstation K106. Jason Aldean's Lights Come On.
He always camped over at the campground just a couple blocks away. And it was always handy for him because he could come over here and drink my beer. And then one day he took my Corvette and I didn't see him for a couple hours. And he had just taken it back to the campground. Made it easy. I could walk down and get it back. You know, we got along really good. The other story with Mike is he stopped by here a couple weeks before he left for Florida. Mm-hmm. And Mike has never been one to really buy lunch or buy donuts or that type of thing. And he actually came in with a dozen donuts for him and I to enjoy, and we had a really nice visit. And then he left for Florida. So I can't even say that Mike was cheap anymore. He kind of redeemed himself. I kind of put a pencil to it in my head, so to speak, on how long we actually talked to each other. And we pretty much talked to each other 5 days a week for 29 years. You know, I got to know him and Dan real well, and we just had had a good relationship, and he helped me a lot on the air. I mean, I had no business talking on the air when I first started, and I got talked into it, and Mike just kind of talked me right through it and made it sound like I actually knew what I was talking about.
That, of course, Marty Johnson, longtime on-air contributor here on the Superstation K106, and turned friend of Mike Danvers. Now, Dan Scogan, you got mentioned in that memory.
Yeah.
From Marty there and helped get it through. Those two really did have, as you know, and I learned, a pretty special relationship. It's not that they talked every single day on the air. It's that he would talk for 20 minutes afterwards to a half an hour afterwards on the air with Marty every single day.
Exactly. And I, even on the air, I always gave Mike a bad time that we didn't charge Marty enough because his 90-second live ad was usually a 3 to 5 minute live ad, and they would go back and forth. And Mike, you know, Mike would be a little uncomfortable today because he doesn't have a mic in his hand and a chance to rebut some things that we're probably going to say before the hour's over.
Right.
But, boy, he was a great partner for me for 25 years.
Yeah.
You know, there was a thing I learned, Dan, and it took me a while, but once I learned that all he really wanted was to be made fun of so he could make fun of you, it made sitting in the other room a lot easier.
And I like Marty's comment about him being cheap because, you know...
Alligator arms.
Well, not... Yeah, kind of. But if there was three or four of us going out for a beer...
Right.
And the four beers would show up and I'd maybe buy those. And then he... Don't do that, he said. I might only have two. And then he didn't want to buy four later, you know. So
I was going to say, I wouldn't call him cheap, but he wouldn't spend money unnecessarily.
No, he was frugal.
And yeah. I know going down to state tournaments, he was... Every day we'd stop and get gas somewhere, it seemed like, and he'd use a different card. It's like he had this little credit card shuffle. I don't know how many statements he must have got each month, because everyone probably had like $30 on it, but he just wanted to, I don't know what his plan was, but he had that little shuffle going.
And that's exactly right, Kyle, because I rode with him to many wrestling events,
right?
And I could never figure him out, because we'd stop, and the last time was probably down in Parker's Prairie after we did a Parker's Prairie triangular with Wadena Deer Creek, and I don't remember the other town. He was leaving the next day to go to Florida. Yeah. You'd think he'd top fill up the truck. He put $20 in. And I don't understand his philosophy, but I think it was something to do with what we're talking about here. So.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sam, does that ring a bell with you? You grew up with him.
I can answer that question for you by all of the credit card statements I've got. I think he used at least a dozen of them to get to Florida.
No chance anybody's stealing his identity. He's got paper trails all over the place.
Right.
And Sam, we, you know, got a little bit of air check of your dad. Most of us weren't smart enough to record our what we did on air. You know, Mike did, one, because I think he liked listening to himself tell a joke or a story, but also it made him better, and, you know, he could work on some of his stuff. And I was just curious, I don't know how much of your dad's belongings you guys have gone through yet, but I'm guessing you've either found or will find a box with hundreds and hundreds of cassette tapes.
Or reel to reel.
Or reel to reel.
It's probably more like an entire file cabinet.
Yeah.
And I don't even have a cassette player, so I don't know what I'm going to do with them. But I mean, as a kid, I remember, you know, listening to him. He would record his shows, and about once a week, he would just sit down and listen to them. And like you said, just to make himself better.
Is it true? He never did it when I was with him, but is it true that he would make family listen to his air checks while you're, like, driving on family vacation?
I don't remember him doing that, but he was definitely critiquing every radio station that he listened to on the trip.
Right.
Which in turn now forces me to do the same thing. You know, it's like the normal person wouldn't even notice it, but it's like, oh, they did it. I can't believe it.
Right.
And then for the listeners who wonder where he came up with all those one-liners or coming out of a song or those ramps that he would tell a joke off, he had a huge file of recipe cards,
mm-hmm.
and he was constantly writing. He'd get a thought and he'd write something down, and he had some kind of a system where he could find them rather quickly. And
right.
He'd have recipe cards and all kinds of stuff that he was constantly looking at.
Yeah, he. Maybe this goes back to Marty a little bit. I had a chance to talk on the phone yesterday with Marty about Mike a little bit, but one thing that I wanted to relay, especially to you folks listening, and really this is for you, the listeners, because Mike knew how much you all meant to him, and he perfected his craft here. I remember meeting him in 1984. I was working over on KWAD at the time, And we both started here that same year. And I remember he had come from KGFX in Pierce, South Dakota. And he was good. And I was kind of in awe of him. I was just getting started in radio. And I was as green as they come. And he told me, he said, I don't want you to take this the wrong way, but you're probably never going to be good enough to work on the Superstation. And I believed him. I looked at him and I wasn't upset about that. I didn't take offense to it because he was that good, and I looked at him like that. But getting back to Marty on when they started that run, and not only Marty, but all the people that he did phoners with on the air, a lot of them over the years, some of them came and went, some of them stayed, some of them are still here. But he was so good at setting up an ad break that he was proud of the fact that he could hold the listeners during an ad break. Not easy to do, because it's pretty easy to hit the dial when the song's done or the bit is over. And Mike was very good at setting that up. And I learned so much about carrying myself on the air more than anybody I've been around. And I've been around a lot of guys. But he was the last of what I call a 1970s DJ. He loved it. He grew up with getting an AM transistor radio, I think, from his grandma or an aunt or something like that. And he knew from that moment on what he wanted to do. And, boy, he sure did it.
You guys, those relationships with his clients, like Brad talked about, were oh so important, and his professionalism on the air is the emphasis of at least what we're talking about here, and I think that is evidenced by another memory. Let's check that out.
Superstation K106 and Miranda Lambert's brand new single, Bluebird. Of course, she hasn't been out on the road entertaining, but Miranda is doing something that she's wanted to do for a long time but hasn't had the time to do. She says she's always in a tour bus. Now she's been traveling the country with her husband, Brendan McLaughlin, going from Nashville to New York City, camping in their Airstream travel trailer along the way.
One time we were, I don't know, must have been a Friday or Tuesday, but Tuesday was kind of business day, and Friday was kind of let her fly, and we were talking, and I don't know what came up, but I said something about how many times he had been married, and I thought I struck a nerve with Mike. But we got through it, and it felt like he was a little perturbed at me on the air there, but we got through everything, and that went fine. So the next time, I was supposed to have a call with him again, so I was expecting his call like I always do. I'm ready for it and getting ready to go on the air, and I was looking for his call, no call, and pretty soon, hour or two, or when he got off the air, he called me. I forgot all about calling you. I'm sorry about that. I didn't know. And I said, I thought you were mad from the last time when I talked to you and struck a nerve about how many divorces you had, so I thought you were mad at me about that. That's why you didn't call. I didn't think I was going to get called ever again, but I'm sure glad you called and apologized to me. And I said, that made me happy and made me feel better. And that was one of my most memorable times about Mike.
Mitch Bartle, long time on the air. And one of the things I remember most about Mike and Mitch's relationship, you guys, was they would go back and forth about wrestling all the time.
Yep.
And Dan Lawson, you and I, we've joked about this now a couple of times. Obviously, there's Section Team Wrestling happening this evening. And that was the world you and Mike lived in together. And boy, oh boy, oh boy. That road trip to Barrett was not high on his list, was it?
No, I told you before we come on the air today, it's kind of ironic because earlier this season we were going through the schedule, you know, and we had to make sure we had all of his month of January free. But we got talking about the match Kyle and I did the other night, and then team sections, individual sections, and state. And he said, well, by the way, where's the team sections at this year? I said, well, it's an all-day deal in Barrett. Now, people in Barrett, West Central area, don't take a pose to your community because it wasn't the community. It was just the drive down there.
It's just there's no way, right. good way to get there.
First time we went there, you know, Mike heads down through Alexandria, and I'm like almost lost. I said, where are we going? Well, we're going to Barrett. And I said, well, Mike, next time, I said, you let me tell you how to go. We're going to head to Battle Lake and straight down 78. We'll save a lot of time. Probably miles ain't much different, but... Yeah, Mike yeah. just, for whatever reason, didn't like that commute.
Something about the curvy roads, I think. It just, I don't know, you'd think like the inner racing fan in him would love those roads.
Well, there's that one that's got a nice little roller coaster dip, but yeah, he was not a big fan of commuting over there.
And listening to you guys at the state tournament, Dan, sometimes there'd be a match going on and we'd get a score at the end, but the whole play-by-play was a debate about either where you had just eaten or where you were going to eat when the evening was done. What was it like sitting there with them all day?
We made it fun. You know, people ask about how, but I mean, yeah, it could be challenging. You know, one thing Mike, very professional, no matter if we were doing wrestling or what, he always told me, make sure you know who we're talking about, who's winning, who's losing. But Mike didn't adapt to later years where kids would always switch their singlets going into the placing rounds. And so all day we've been covering these kids. And at one time we're sitting there looking, and I'm like, that's not who's wrestling, but I hate to tell him that. But I pointed it out, and, well, what do you mean? He said, that's the same. I said, no, Mike, they switched singlets for the championship. Yeah.
Oh.
He'd have a way to get back to you, though, because even if you'd point something out, he'd point out one of your mistakes. But, yeah, you're right. We'd go, and you'd talk about the beers and how many you'd buy. We'd usually go down to Tom Reed's after it was over. One night they had 2-for-1s. Well, they brought Mike 2 deals of beer, glasses of beer. He didn't usually drink more than once, right. So he didn't know how he was going to get rid of 2 of them. But we'd go to Cassetta's, one of our favorite places to go, and what we'd use that time for is because with wrestling, thank goodness now for automation, track wrestling, and whatever, you could update your bracket sheets because you're trying to cover all the single A and some of double A area teams. We'd use that time to eat, and then we'd sit and fill out and get our bracket sheets up to date before the next round started. So
right.
It's stunning to me that this part of the state had lost 2 radio icons in the last 4 months.
I think about that a lot.
I mean, Rick Youngbauer, just a tough fight with cancer and finally succumbed. And he was the one that kind of got the whole morning thing started. Rick and I were working the More Bowl Less Music show in the morning when I first came here in 82. Dan Sartell left, I think, in about 84, and I moved to mornings, and then Mike came, and then we lose Mike, and there's two guys who, Kyle, I mean, you grew up with Rick around.
Yeah. And then, you know, you go back even a couple more years, Stan Como, we lost him during COVID.
Right.
Yeah.
Early
right.
on, so.
Kyle, it always was interesting to me that we got along so well here, and we all stayed. But we weren't socially getting together. I think the listeners might wonder, boy, I bet those guys had a lot of fun after they left work.
No.
We all went our own way.
Right. Especially, you know, when we were married. When I first came, I worked here the summer of 84 as an intern before my last year of college. Then I went back to school. Mike came in November of 84. And then when I got done with college in the spring of 85, I can't remember if somebody quit or got fired or whatever, and Rick called and said, can you work Memorial Day weekend? Oh, okay, I need beer money and gas money. So I worked Friday night, Saturday afternoon, Sunday morning, and Monday, and then got called in and said, can you work? We got a job for you if you want to work. Okay, sure. But Mike and I were the only 2 single guys.
Oh, sure.
You know, Rick was married. You were married. Stan... Well, we weren't really sure week to week with Stan. But so, yeah, so Mike and I got a chance to, you know, go out and socialize a little bit. But then as, you know, he gets married or in the relationship and I get married, and like you said, we worked well together. We had a lot of fun together. But day was done. We all kind of...
We're
friends, but we weren't the close friends that a lot of people probably thought we were.
I was thinking also, Kyle and Dan, about, well, and Dan Lawson, obviously, you and Mike, very close. you know, away from wrestling and in just a tremendous friendship. I mean, we would tease you guys about being girlfriends because you were texting each other so much. But I also thought it would just be noteworthy that we remember Tom Arnold, because Tom and Mike were very close. And I remember...
What a talented guy Tom was.
Oh, incredible. In that production room, he was... I mean, we were lucky to have him.
He'd make me mad just about every day for yep. some of his other antics, but...
Well, he would double park down there and...
come up here and throw a record on and go park right? the car. Yeah. Oh,
I remember having to put the license plates on his car. They were almost a year overdue, and he had the new plates in the back seat of that Geo Metro. But he just was too lazy to put them on, so I borrowed Wanda's screwdriver and went down there one time and put them on. But I remember Mike telling me a story about going down, I don't know where we had been, if it might have been a company Christmas party or whatever over by Otter Tail, but we were coming back through Hewitt, and we had stopped at Checkers, and Mike and Tom stayed later than everybody else, and Mike told me the story afterward that he thought Tom had probably had enough orange pop, as they say. And he told Tom he was going to give him a ride home. He said, oh, no, I'm fine. And he said, well, I'll tell you what, Tom. He said, I'm going to leave because I've only had one beer, and you just follow me home. We'll go all the way back into Wadena. And he said, we no more than got out on Highway 71. And he said, that little Geo Metro went scooting around me and took off, and I watched the taillights disappear out of sight. And I looked up, and I said, well, Tom, there's no saving you now.
You know, I was thinking with Dan talking about all the wrestling trips that they made, and how ironic it is that Section Team Wrestling is today, because if Mike were here and we were doing this for somebody else, he'd be like, nope, can't do it. Don't have time. You know, I got to finish my show. I got to do production, and then I got to go to wrestling. Yep. So,
long day.
Yep. Well, I was thinking also after 9/11 happened, our then general manager at that time, the whole country was taking a minute of
silence.
Radio silence in respect and honor for the fallen, you know, the heroes that tried to save those people and all the tragedy that was. And you remember what that battle was like? You were the operations manager then.
He did not want to do it.
But we did it.
The year 1984 has come up a lot as an opportunity for basically the core of what we have in this building coming together for the very first time. As a matter of fact, one of our memories now starts in 1984.
It's Mike and Corey in the morning on the Superstation, oftentimes agreeing to disagree.
According to a new study, firstborn sons, that would be me and you, 24% more likely to work in executive positions than you secondborn siblings.
Oh, really? If there's anyone who's got a chance between me or the next brother in line, it would be the next brother in line.
Is that the one that's the college track coach?
That'd be the one.
He's the one with the highest expectations, not you. Mom and dad go all. Corey's the one we're counting on.
I think they learned to temper their expectations pretty early.
We're 24% more likely to work in executive positions than the second born and 28% more likely than the third born. Younger siblings, you babies of the family, are more likely to be self-employed. Because you don't listen to anybody anyway.
Nope.
According to research, the oldest children in the family are also more emotionally stable. That'd be me and you.
Yeah, I think probably. That's probably true in my family.
Unless I really get under his skin and then he becomes very emotional and not very stable.
No, I don't know about emotional.
Yeah.
You just piss me off sometimes.
Mike and Corey in the morning on the Superstation.
Well, I think Mike originally came to town in, if I remember right, like in 1984, and I was a new State Farm agent in 1985, and my first office, you might not have known this, Corey, was right underneath the radio station. That's where my first office was, and I first knew Mike as the pesky radio announcer who parked his truck in front of my door during prime time when customers would come in. So that's how I first remembered him. And he was a State Farm policy holder, like, since the mid-80s, I think. I think he's been State Farm forever. And, you know, I helped him with claims like his house getting hit by lightning and a tree falling on his house and different things. But I think when I really got to know him the best was when I started talking to him on the radio on Wednesday mornings, and he became a friend who would tease me and I'd tease him back. And in fact, the summer that we lived in a camper, Mike was our advisor, telling us things like, no, Jolene, don't be stupid. You can't use regular toilet paper in a camping trailer, you know, things that we didn't know. But I would say that we became really super good friends when he joined our trivia team, Tequila Mockingbird. One day I don't remember if he was in the office or what. I said, you should come and play on our trivia team tonight. We play at 6:30. And he walked in the door right at 6:30. And there was no going back. I don't know that he ever missed a night unless he was in Florida. Seriously. In fact, last year, one day I get this call when we're about ready to start trivia, and it's from Mike, and he's panicked. He says, I locked my keys in my truck and it's running and I can't get in. Now, most people would have said, I'm not going to make it tonight. I got to call John's car care to get unlocked, or, you know, I'll be late. Not Mike. He said, come pick me up. He left his truck running for a couple hours so he wouldn't miss trivia. I mean, how can people do that? But Mike was our tiebreaker on the team. So if we have a tie at the end of regulation on our trivia, you send one representative from your team up to have a tiebreaker question. It's always related to numbers. And it was always Mike that went up there. And, like, who would know how many movies Elvis has been in? The answer is 33. Mike knew it. And I think the last one he went up on, I'm pretty sure, was how many dead souls were there in the Edmund Fitzgerald? And he knew it was 29. And when Mike would know right on, he would come back with his hands in the air and this swagger, like, I just got it, you know, kind of thing. We also had something called the Danvers Dollar. Mike was really good on sports questions, current events, of course, country music, good on old rock and roll songs. But if he would disagree, if we would disagree on what we all thought the answer was, we would put a dollar down to see who was right, you know, and he would just kind of shake his head like he knew we were putting the wrong answer down. And we still talk about, you know, Mike would know this. You know, we'll say that Mike would know this question. And, you know, I speak for everyone on our trivia team that, you know, we really miss him. And we keep thinking he's going to walk back in. And we will miss him forever. And that, you know, that's a hard way to end. But Corey, it's, we just can't hardly believe he's gone. You know, and we've lost a good friend, for sure.